Santiago has convened a task force to come up with ideas for the library of the future. We spoke with Santiago, his counterpart from Monroe County, Public Library Director Norma Kula, and Kristen McLean, CEO and co-founder of the market research firm Bookagee. Raymond, what kind of future do libraries have in Miami-Dade County, considering the financial difficulties that the library system went through just this past summer to be able to meet its budget for this year?
We have a Blue Ribbon Task Force that's been called together by the mayor and a number of working groups that have been working for the last few weeks, meeting, looking at different aspects of library operations and library futures. And at some point, they'll all be brought together. And as we move forward into the next budget year, hopefully we'll have some strong proposals that the mayor then proposed in terms of what will reflect the needs, the ongoing needs of this community and the future needs of this community, and what this community is willing to sustain in terms of their public library system.
Norma, you're responsible for libraries spread across the Keys in Florida. What are the needs of your stakeholders in the years ahead that you've identified?
Well, I think the needs of library stakeholders in almost any area of the country that you look at are basically the same. They want access to information, they want access to educational things, they want access to entertainment. The things that are different are not so much what we're providing, but the format in which we're providing them.
Kristen, do you agree? Is it the needs are generally the same, but it's how those needs are met that's changing and evolving quickly?
Yeah, I think that's true. We've seen in a lot of research, you know, when we ask people about what interests them and what drives them around books and content, what they're looking for hasn't really shifted, but the delivery of it has shifted quite a bit. And the question that I've been thinking about and looking for answers for is what does it mean to be a library in the digital age?
Raymond, how do you answer that question? What does it mean to be a library like Miami-Dade County's library system, 49 physical brick-and-mortar buildings?
Well, I think, you know, and I think you have to think of the library as beyond those 49 buildings, because there's other things that I think we do and other libraries do that are just not tied to the physical buildings. You know, I think what Norman and Kristen mentioned in terms of the kinds of needs people are looking for, you know, it's all about learning. How do we deliver that learning? How do we, you know, what kinds of methods do we use for that learning? So it's an ever-defining role, but I think it's not a new role for libraries. Libraries have been redefining themselves since the beginning of libraries, going mm-hmm. back to scrolls and you know, and clay tablets.
Yeah, but the difference between going from a clay tablet and a scroll on you know, parchment paper, going to the digital age, Kristen, is significantly different. It requires a significant amount of investment and reinvestment that was different from years of yore.
Well, I think that's true in one sense, in that the technology that we have today and just the proliferation of titles and information that's flowing around those networks is infinitely larger. But in terms of the value and access to information, I do think the fundamental questions about who controls information, where you have to go to get it, how you elevate your status through learning, all of those things are the same. We're just seeing them shift towards the tools that we have available to us today and just the amount of traffic that we have.
Norma, how are you responding to, you know, obviously the proliferation of information? It's the fire hose of information, but the library is the conduit, is maybe not a filter per se, but at least a funnel in the effort to make some sense of it.
Well, it is definitely, but I think that a lot of it is patron-driven rather than librarian-driven. We're looking at the technology that the patrons bring in with them, that they're looking for us to show them how to use or how to work with them and using it. Or in some cases, they're showing us how they use something new.
What would you mean, like people coming in with smartphones and saying, how do you use my iPhone, that kind of thing?
Not so much how do I use it, but how do I, for instance, access your database of downloadable digital books?
Mm-hmm. And so, Raymond, to that regard, when we talk about the future of libraries, it is in a device. You've got a tablet here as we sit in our studio in Miami right next to you.
And I have an iPhone in my pocket, you know. So, yeah, I think it is. And I think to Norma's point, it is true that, you know, we do get lots of requests for people coming in asking us, how do you use this? Not only how to access, but how do you actually use this device? So, it the delivery methods are changing. And I think, we have a challenge in terms of keeping up with those. And I think Norma's point about, you know, it is patron-driven. Obviously, we need to respond to them. I mean, ultimately, that's who we're serving. We don't create public libraries for librarians. They're created for the public, and they are a service. you know, we've gotten away from the concept of these being warehouses. They have to be active places where active learning goes on. And however we can help to facilitate that learning is really needs to be our goal.
Raymond Santiago is the director of public libraries at Miami-Dade County. Norma Kula is the director of public libraries in Monroe County. Kristen McLean is the CEO and founder of Bookigy. Kristen, do you hear an opportunity with these library directors when they're talking about technology and accessing the information and using the technology? Is there an opportunity for not only the library of the future, but the future of libraries? In other words, the funding for public libraries.
Well, yeah. So my background is in trade publishing, and I've worked very actively with bookstores and many other stakeholders in the publishing industry for many years. And I think everyone knows that consumer behavior is shifting right now, and a lot of online buying is happening. So the question that I think is really important to ask is, if buying is going online, how are people finding out about books? And how are people finding out about what they should be reading? And where do people come together in their communities to explore that? And for me, libraries is the natural inheritor of that.
So as we're seeing fewer and fewer retail outlets for bookstores that are existing for a profit, in other words, they got to sell a book for more than what it costs. If you go to a place where you can browse books for free, you're saying that that potentially is the opportunity. But how do you translate that into a sustainable model, even a nonprofit model for a public library?
Well, I would defer to my library colleagues on that one because I think that's a challenge. But I also think that it's really about advocacy and about being very clear about the importance of libraries and the importance of books in general. In, you know, what is a culture without books? I think it's a very important question.
Raymond, you've got your task force. How would you put that kind of challenge to your task force? We've got a number. We've got 6 million patrons that you serve. Your public library served in Miami-Dade County last year.
Well, we had about close to 7 million people come through our doors.
Yeah,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
I thought you're looking to turn a profit from them, but you do have to have a sustainable model.
Well, I have to pay.
Yeah.
You know, I have gas bills to pay, I have electric bills to pay, and, you know, and
salaries and
to
benefits. Bill,
and also, to, you know, the purchase to provide access to information. You know, so I think, you know, Kristen is right. Part of it is advocacy. Part of it is seeing, you know, what support a community is willing to give in terms of providing the services. It is a tough question because you are balancing, especially when you're talking about any kind of public or cultural institution. You know, how do you balance those needs with other needs in a community?
One of the things that Kristen talks about is still a physical space where people can experience books and interact with literature and interact with information, not necessarily on the screen. So, Norma, as you look at your library system strung out over, you know, the Florida Keys, you know, how do you match up that desire that you and your stakeholders have for this physical space, but also, you know, the increased cost of continuing to sustain those physical spaces?
Well, the increased cost is always a problem, of course. But as Raymond said, the community support is so great. And that shows even in his own situation where he had that problem this past summer. But look at the public response that brought out and the support that was shown by the people who were back in the libraries.
Well, not only was it a challenge this past summer for Director Santiago in Miami-Dade County, it is a challenge that you face currently and one that's going to be heated very, very soon because of the way that the budgetary process worked. You have no reserve fund right now for the libraries. You're facing, by some estimates, a $20 million hole in the next fiscal year.
Yes. Yeah. And we are. But I think it's always a challenge. I think it's, you know, the degree of challenge is much bigger than we've ever faced.
It's four times exponential what you had this past year.
Exactly. It's a much bigger challenge. And I think, you know, part of the work that we're going through right now is hopefully to help meet that challenge. But I think it's also important to look at and think about the library as place. You know, books are certainly important. Reading is certainly important. It's not the only thing that goes on in our facilities. It's not the only kinds of services that go on. And the library is a place, and I think Norma would certainly agree with this, if you look at the kinds of activities that are going on in our libraries, in all of our public libraries throughout this country, there is book lending, there is book reading, there's access to electronic resources, there's cultural activities that are going on. There's all kinds of things that are going on in our libraries as they do become centers in communities, and particularly in a community like ours, we don't have lots of public centers.
Should libraries be considering their senses of place? Yes, but should they also be places of commerce?
If I knew that I could make a book purchase and that a certain amount of my purchase would go to support my library, and that was possible to do online, I think that would be a very compelling thing for me personally. And it does beg the question down in the future about whether or not libraries have an opportunity to retail in some form to drive their own support. And I do think that that would be a very compelling thing for people who want to support the library.
And it's going on. I think retail in the library, to some extent, has been there for a long time. You know, we've charged for lots of things. But more recently, you know, we've seen the surge of, you know, even bookstores in libraries. I think Orange County Public Library up in Orlando has a wonderful bookstore within their library confines.
Could we see that in Miami-Dade County?
Possibly.
Norma, could we see it in the Keys?
Very likely. We have a gift shop in one of our branches that is to this right now.
We're looking at all kinds of possibilities in terms of supplementary funding, all kinds of partnerships, you know, even concepts of, you know, pop-up libraries, libraries in a box.
Could those pop-up libraries then become replacements of the 49 brick-and-mortar libraries, some of which were threatened with closure this past year?
Sure. I mean, I think you have to look at all kinds of possibilities for delivering service. I think you have to look at a combination as we're looking at, and I think good library systems provide a combination of all of these points of access. And it really, because I think Kristen mentioned the word access before, it really is key. How do we provide access to the most number of people in the most convenient way to information and the kinds of services that we can provide?
I think the point about balancing the public good against all of the things that a government has to think about is really important. But boy, we would be so much poorer without our libraries.
Raymond, finally, as you look at that $20 million deficit and how to fill those holes, and your task force is looking at way to fill those holes, are taxes going to have to be on the table and part of the discussion?
I think everything's on the table. And you know, is it filling the hole? Is it not filling the hole? Is it expanding, you know, the fill to make it even bigger? I think what we're talking about at this point is really, you know, what is it that we need in this community? What are the possibilities? What are we thinking about in terms of a library of the future? What is that going to cost? How do we fund that? Everything is on the table.